going to talk to you this morning about the gifts of the Spirit and spiritual gifts and how God has given us everything we need. Everything we need in order to live an overcoming Christian life. He said no good gift would he withhold from those that love him. All our job is to love him. And in so many places in the Bible, it talks about if we love him, then this will happen. If we love him, this will happen. So our job is to love God and be faithful to him. I want to read to you in John chapter 14, a promise that Jesus gave to the disciples. Jesus had lived his life with the disciples. They had spent a lot of time together. And he was getting ready to ascend into heaven. And he had given them this comforting word that I am in the Father. The Father is in me. And I have given you the keys to eternal life. And he said, greater things than these shall you do. He said, greater things than what he was doing that we would be able to do. It's just almost incomprehensible. Yes. But the difference is that it's not really us doing it. It's God doing it through us. Amen. So in John chapter 14, it's a great verse. Verse 16, it says, and I will pray the Father. Jesus is saying this. He said, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. Another helper, he said. He said, you're not just going to have this one helper who is me. Jesus said, I'm going to help you, but I'm going to send another helper, which is the Holy Spirit, that he will abide with you forever. I'm going to send this helper that will abide with you in the good times, in the bad times, when you're not feeling it, when it doesn't feel right. He says, I'm going to be with you no matter how you feel. I'm going to be there with you because I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm going to be a friend that sticks even closer than a brother. Amen. So I brought we could call this throwback Sunday. You've heard about Thursday, but it's not Thursday, so it's going to be Sunday. And I brought a picture, an old picture that I had. Someone sent me a text after the last service, said, how can you do that with your eyes closed? Pretty good, really. Pretty good. This is a picture at Cheyenne, at the rodeo in Cheyenne. And I think this is the picture that they put on the cover of the Denver Post, because we won quite a bit of money there at Cheyenne Steer Rest, throwing that steer down. Believe it or not, that was one of the good ones. He looks a little healthy, though, doesn't he? In that picture, this picture doesn't tell the whole story. There is if you look real close on the right side of that steer, you'll see a boot in a stirrup. Do you see that? Now, that person doesn't get any recognition. The announcer didn't call his name. Nobody even knows who that is because he's not even in the picture. But I'm here to tell you, if that guy wasn't there, I wouldn't be there. Because that guy hazed the steer, and he got that steer to the place where I was able to catch him. Now, what happens is it seems like that may not be that big of a deal or that important of a job to have that guy there. But let me tell you something. I would not have been successful there. That would have been a wreck, a train wreck, without that guy. But nobody sees him. God said, I'm going to send you a helper. We've not ever seen the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you something. Without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, you would be a train wreck. I would be a train wreck. But we have God. We got the helper. He doesn't get very much recognition here. We don't talk about the Holy Spirit as much as we ought to. The third person of the Trinity. He is God. He is not an it. He is a person. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Son said, I'm going to pray the Father and he will send the Holy Spirit and he will abide with you forever. What an amazing gift and what an amazing opportunity not to fail and not to be a train wreck, but to succeed in life and get your picture on the cover of the Denver Post. So, I want to give you six quick points this morning about your spiritual gifts. The first one is to be informed about spiritual gifts. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is it's a letter to the church at Corinth that Paul wrote to the church. Now in chapter 12, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. Chapter 13 is a chapter that most of y'all know about. It's the love chapter. We're all about that, right? I mean, like, it was the one they read at your wedding, the love chapter. If they didn't, they thought about it. Maybe. But sandwiched in between the 12 and 14, 14 talks about the gifts of the Spirit as well, is chapter 13, which is the love chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts. This is what I want to help you with. Now concerning spiritual gifts. I do not want you to be ignorant. He just comes right out with it. He says, don't be ignorant. Like, when it comes to spiritual gifts, don't be ignorant. End of story. Let's close in prayer. Now, you could, though. I mean, that's a good sermon right there. Just don't be ignorant. Someone help us not to be ignorant. Verse 12, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away by these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, there are diversities. Everybody say diversities. There are diversities of gifts by the same Spirit. There are different ministries, differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, things we do. But it's the same God who works in us all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. In other words, God gives you your gift, not to hoard the gift or to lock it up within inside of you, but to share your gift for the profit of all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, verse 7, the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, the faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body also in Christ. In other words, we are all one body in Christ. But it's not just this church. It's all of the churches that received Christ as their personal Savior, that worship the one true living God, the one who adheres to the truth of the Word of God. We are all one family, and that family will be caught up to be with God. In the end, we all win. For by the Spirit, verse 13, we were all baptized into one body. And we're going to baptize people today, by the way. And we encourage y'all to stick around for that. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink in the same one spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Verse 18, I'm going to skip on down because I can't read all this. Don't have time. Verse 18, but now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? So if we were all a hand, or if we were all, if everybody wanted to do the same thing, none of the other things would get done. The other day, I closed the barn door, my stall door on my barn, and it had a little runner, and I had my foot in the way, and when I closed that, it hit my toe, and it bent that toenail back about that far, and my whole body hurt just because that one little bitty toenail got bent back a little bit. It's like, why can't you just hurt by yourself down there? But when one part of the body is hurt, the whole body hurts. But you see, that's the way that God intended for it to be, that we all come together and we all have this love for each other, that when somebody else is hurting, we serve them and we help them get through their hurt and their pain. But God composed, verse 24, but God composed the body having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles, then prophets, teachers, after that are miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. There are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all miracle workers of miracles. Do all have the same gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. He said, desire the best gifts. Now, the best gift is the gift that is needed at the time. God is a God of order, but he's also a God of variety. But when we need, if I need the gift of healing and somebody brings me $100, it's not going to help me that much. Well, it could pay a doctor bill, but that's not my point. My point is that I need to be healed, right? And so we use these different gifts that God gives us for the benefit of the church, or for the benefit of the people that we know and we come in contact with. I want to back up in verse 23. It says, in those members of the body which we think are less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. In other words, there's not parts of the body need to be covered up. And I appreciate it. I'm glad you covered up them parts because they're unpresentable. But that doesn't mean that we don't need them. You with me? There's people that work here. We got people up in the IT room back there, and they run all the monitors. They run the sound, run everything, and you don't ever see them. But we need them pretty bad. If we didn't have those people, then this wouldn't be the experience that it is. It's a really valuable contribution to the value of this service. But we don't see them. But that doesn't mean that we don't appreciate them, and it doesn't mean that we don't need them. Amen? Amen. So we've got to be informed about spiritual gifts. He said he doesn't want us to be ignorant. No local church will be what it should be until it understands spiritual gifts. God wants each one of us as individuals to understand our spiritual gifts. There's a difference between spiritual gifts and natural abilities. God's talking about, he's not just talking about what we do naturally, he's talking about what we can do supernaturally when he puts his super on our natural, whenever he gives us the abilities to do things that we really wouldn't have been able to do. If you ever had a conversation with somebody and you begin to talk to them about something and then you sounded really, really intelligent, and then you walked away and you're like, man, where'd that come from? That sounded pretty good. It's the Holy Spirit helping you. So what I want to encourage you with, we're going to baptize people. And we give away these Bibles to everybody that gets baptized. It's called the Spirit-Filled Life Bible. And I just encourage everybody, if you don't have one of these Bibles, what it does, it has a lot of different explanations about what was going on in the day, and it gives you a lot of information about living a spirit-filled life. We have these Bibles available in the bookstore, and they're online as well. And so I just encourage everybody. But we give them, how many here this morning that you've been baptized and you got one of these Bibles? Raise your hand. Look at that. Look at that. Isn't that sweet? Let's give them all a hand of God's Bible. Yeah, that's pretty cool. So it's important that we have these gifts and we give our gifts to the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it makes a statement about when that which is perfect has come, that these gifts won't be around any longer, that we won't need those gifts. Some suggest that many of these kinds of gifts have ceased to function. I believe that the misconception is when these gifts cease. There's a lot of different denominations, different churches, and we're not going to get into any of the names of them churches, but a lot of them don't believe in the gifts of miracles or the gifts of the Spirit, because they believe that these gifts ceased whenever the apostles, whenever they died, that these gifts died with them. But what it says here, It says that when there is, it says that it will cease when knowledge ceases, when wisdom ceases, when tongues will cease. And my point is, like, do we need wisdom these days? Do we need knowledge these days? Do we need communication with God through speaking in these tongues that God gives us and that he anoints us with? When we don't need these powerful gifts in our lives, then this will cease. In other words, whenever Jesus comes back for us and we no longer have to have these particular gifts, then we will have this glorified body. But until this old sinful natured body, until we have this perfect body, we need all the help we can get. And if you don't think you need any help and you just kind of want to go along with that cease, it'll be like anybody ever have a pickup with a governor on it? My son, it's been several years back, but he was roping and he got bucked off of his horse and he got kicked in the head. We got this phone call that he's laying on the ground and he's not moving. And me and daughter jumped in the truck. We was here at work. We jumped in the truck and headed toward the arena where he was. And I realized at that point in time that pickup won't go over 100 mile an hour. It's got a governor on it. Randy Rowe knows what I'm talking about. He's like, yeah, I know, man. I got it. Some of y'all looking off a holy on there, but you kind of do that too a little bit. We prayed on the way when we got ready. We kind of come around that corner, slid around that corner, wound up in the arena, and he was setting up, and God honestly spared his life because he got kicked in the head really hard, and it was could have been really terrible. But God doesn't want a governor on your life. You can put a governor on your life, and you can say, well, that's not for me. I don't want any of that. And God won't make you have a gift. He won't make you take any gift. Amen? I don't know about you. I'm like, I'm in. I'm in. I don't need no governor on my life. I need all the help I can get. I want to go just as fast as God will let me go. So there's three different areas of gifts. We have the speaking gifts, which would be like the word of wisdom, prophecy, evangelism, pastoral teaching or teaching. The apostles' gift, the apostolic gift is a gift of starting new beginnings, starting church. We could argue that the apostles, apostolic gift is also for missionaries that we send out. The gift of wisdom. I don't know if it was this service, but it's been a few weeks back that after we had invited people to come up and give their heart to the Lord, I made a statement. I said, you know what? There's somebody else out there that God is really working on, and God's asking you to come. And I told him, I said, I'm going to stay here this after church, and I'm going to wait for you to come up and so you can give your heart to the Lord. And two people, I thought it was just one. I don't always get it right, but there was two of them, and they came down and they gave their heart to the Lord. But what was that? It was the gift of knowledge and the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge of knowing what God was saying at that particular time for that particular purpose. And so that's, and I would just, I don't know if I said this in this service, but I would almost guarantee that there are people, most everybody in this room has operated in one or two of these gifts of the Spirit that he is provided for us, but we don't even know that it's one of the gifts. We're just like, where'd that come from? Well, I'm come today to tell you it come from God and it come from the Holy Spirit. If there's anything good in you, it's because God has helped you with that. Give him credit and give him honor. Yeah, thank you. So we have the speaking gifts, we have the service gifts, the gift of administration, the gift of exhortation, the gift of faith, the gift of giving, the gift of helps, the gift of serving, and the gift of mercy. There's probably, in chapter 12, it talks about nine gifts of the Spirit, but if you would go out throughout the entire New Testament, you could probably find 20 or 25 different gifts that it talks about. There are also the sign gifts, which is the discerning of spirit. In other words, if you ever had somebody, they wanted to make a deal with you, or they wanted to come in with a contract with you, and you're like, oh, I don't know. Or maybe they want to sell you a horse, and something just doesn't feel right about it. It's like, I don't understand. But the spirit of discernment will help you to discern whether it's a good deal for you or not. He'll help you to discern if you need to back away from that, because I'm sure you've done this before. You're like, that just doesn't feel right. I don't know about that. You buying a house, getting married. I mean, you can go through all those things, you know. We've all made mistakes along those ways in some way or another, but whenever we acknowledge him, he says that he will direct our path. It says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. It's our job to be good men and good women, good kids, and then let him direct our steps. Amen? Amen. Discerning the Spirit, the gift of miracles, the gift of healing, the gift of tongues. In other words, being able to communicate with God through our spirit, letting our spirit pray. The Bible says that whenever we pray in tongues, that the Spirit, our spirit prays, the Holy Spirit prays for us, and he prays through us. And when we pray in the Spirit, that we are praying God's perfect will for our lives. And it's a benefit that is way underused in the church today. God wants us to have the gift of praying in tongues and praying in the Holy Spirit. And it's just an added benefit of the church. Now, you're not a second class citizen in the church of God if you don't speak in tongues. I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is that God has provided that for you, that gift, and you have to give your vocal cords to God and let him baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Make yourself available. The first thing we do is ask. If you've never asked, you'll never get anything. You have not because you...
Yeah, hello.
Be informed about spiritual gifts. Be influenced by the Holy Spirit. And this one is incorporate diversity in your understanding. Verse 4 through 6, it says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Everybody say all. He works these gifts in all of his church. In other words, God has designed us to work these gifts. And when we find that place where we fit and we find that gift that God has put in us, then we do what we've been called to do. And I would just parenthetically say this to you, that it's not rocket science. A lot of the things that you do well, the things that you enjoy doing, the things that just come natural to you, 9 times out of 10, God is going to use that, and that is a DNA implant that God put in you for the gifts that he has designed for you to participate in. In other words, what you already do, God wants to improve your serve. So, the church, as he customizes his work through us for his ultimate glory and for the strength of the church. God wants the church to be healthy. We have a lot of division in our nation today. I don't know that I've ever seen our nation so divided. But let me tell you something. The church must stay in unity. We cannot be divided, and we cannot allow our nation to influence us. It's our job as a church to influence our nation. We need to bring unity to our nation, and the nation needs, as the church goes, so should go the nation. Not as the nation goes, so should go the church. There's many churches that are so influenced by the nation today that they take out the principles of the Word of God and they compromise the truth of the Word of God. But we, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can accomplish amazing things through Christ who gives us strength. Now, let me give you some illustrations about how the gifts of the Spirit work. Say, has any of y'all, any of y'all ever been to a potluck at a church? Some of y'all, this is like just old church stuff, potlucks. I mean, that's when everybody brings a dish and then everybody partakes of something. And I have the gift of discernment at potlucks because I've been to so many of them, I can really tell what's going to be good and what's not going to be good. I know what to take of and what to leave alone. It's like, I don't think so. So suppose at a potluck that someone drops a plate full of dessert on the floor in the fellowship hall. This is how people with different gifts would respond, okay? The gift of prophecy. Well, that's what happens when you're not careful. I can sure see that coming. The gift of service. Oh, let me help you clean that up. The gift of teaching. Well, the reason that fell, it was a little bit too heavy on one side and you weren't really paying attention. The gift of exhortation. Next time, maybe you should let somebody else help you carry it, but it'll be all right. The gift of giving. Here, you can have my dessert. See? Now, someone up here says, oh, you can get my dessert. Well, I'm going to talk about the gift of love in a minute for you. The gift of mercy. Oh, don't feel too bad. It could happen to anybody. So here's the gift of administration. Jim, Go get the mop and clean that up. Sue, would you please help me pick that up? And Mary, you go get him another dessert. Everybody wants that gift because it's like everyone wants to tell everybody what to do. But I like what it says in 1 Corinthians 1:7. It says, therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. You don't lack any spiritual gift. The church doesn't lack any spiritual gift. When we all understand who we are, what we're called to do, and where we fit in the body of Christ, we don't lack any spiritual gift when we all submit to the Lordship of Jesus. Here at the Lone Star Cowboy Church, we have a lot of things going on. There's a lot of ministry that happens here at the church. There's no way that any of the pastors here could be at every event and every function that happens or be actively involved in all of the ministry that happens here at the Lone Star Cowboy Church. There's just too much going on. Here's the exciting truth is that because of God's grace, and because of his mercy, and because we have the word of God, we all have permission to serve in his church. In fact, you are saved, and I am saved for the purpose of serving. So when we all do what we're all called to do, then the church goes forward, and it's a healthy church. Years ago, you all have heard me say this before, but we had about 300 people coming to church. We were in the tent, and we were pretty wore out, just to be honest with you, just pretty wore out. And one day I was praying, and I said, Lord, I said, 300 people, that's too many people. I can't do 300 people. And you remember me telling you the story. You said, well, you can shut the gate. And I'm like, well, we don't want to do that. And what the Lord showed me, he said this to me. He said, Randy, if you'll do what I've called you to do and use the gift that I've given you, I'll do the rest. Right. So what has happened over the last 20 years is that God has sent you. He sent different pastors to come, different leaders to come and participate. And through that, we have all become joined together and we have all learned to agree with God. You won't always agree with me. You won't always agree with Pastor Jason or Pastor Amber or Darla. You won't always agree with it, but it's okay because it's not about you agreeing with us. It's about us agreeing with God. In Amos 3:3, it says, can two walk together unless they agree? And it's not talking about me agreeing with you or even you agreeing with me. It's about us agreeing with God. And when we know the word of God and we study the word of God to show ourselves approved of God, then we can walk together because we agree with God. And amazing things happen because of that. When we all do the ministry God's gifted us to do, then God's kingdom prospers and is in good health. God wants the church to be healthy, doesn't he? He wants you to be healthy as an individual. He wants your family healthy. He wants his church family to be healthy. So we're informed about spiritual gifts. We're influenced by the Holy Spirit. We incorporate diversity in our understanding and we identify our spiritual gifts. God's called us to identify our spiritual gifts. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. When we all do our work, when we all do a little bit, it turns into a lot for the kingdom of God. So cool. So we identify our spiritual gifts, and then we implement. God didn't give you the gift so that you can be a gift hoarder. but so you can give out what God has given you and serve. It's interesting here at the Lone Star Calvary Church, we've got so many life groups, gifts of service. God's blessed us with many people that have shared their homes for life groups and teachers to teach those life groups. Gifts of service, hospitality, gifts of speaking, communicating. God has given each and every one of us so many different varieties of gifts that it's just a blast to watch God mold us and shape us and for us to grow in his kingdom. How many of you would say, man, I had no idea that I would be doing what I'm doing for God, but it sure is fun. God just, he'll take you out of your comfort zone because God doesn't really care whether you're comfortable or not. He never said, hey, I came that you might be comfortable. That you might just be more comfortable. I've never read that in the Bible, ever. He did say you'll have some rough times. 1 Peter 4:10, he says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully. Everybody say faithfully. Faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. God's grace. And then it says in 1 Timothy 4, do not neglect your gift. I remind you to fan into flames the gift of God. So implement your gift into service. And my last point is intensify your love. Intensify your love. Having a spiritual gift does not necessarily make you spiritual. Just because you have the gift, you have to be a good steward of that gift. Any of y'all ever give your 16-year-old son a brand new car that had too much get up and go? And sooner or later, whoop, you're in the ditch. Too much power. Be a good steward of the power that God has given you. So here it is. First chapter 13, right after chapter 12, in between chapter 13 and 14, it's chapter 13, the love chapter. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Aren't you glad God's patient? And because God's patient, we should be patient. Love is kind. Woo! Y'all, come on now. Isn't it a lot more fun to be around kind people than it is to be around grumpy, bitter?
Amen.
Love is kind. Love is not puffed up. Look at my gift. I'm so spiritual. No, love isn't puffed up. Love is patient. Love is kind. And then, here it is, three of the most important words in the Bible, in my opinion. Love never fails. Love never fails. So really, here's the point. The point is, it doesn't do any good to have all these gifts if it's not tempered with love. I've seen a lot of people abuse the gifts. I mean, you can get on the internet and see a bunch of crazy people speaking in tongues and being. And that could really mess things up if we let it. My dad said, a good light always draws a few bugs. Please don't judge God by looking at stupid people. Please don't allow yourself to be stifled by the truth of God's word because somebody else abused it. God's love, the Bible says that God is love, right? God is love. So if God is love, then love is God. And if love never fails, then... Oh, y'all smart. Y'all getting it now. Y'all getting a hold of it. If love never fails, then God in Him we live. In Him we move. In Him we have our being. And He's given us every gift that we need to be overcomers in the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thanks for helping us. Thank you for your blessings. Lord, today is the day that you've made. We rejoice because our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We rejoice because you have given us the power to overcome. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you said that you would teach us all things. Help us, Lord, to be teachable. Help us, Lord, to humble ourselves before you so we can understand the significance of the gifts of the Spirit. In Jesus' name. I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a second. If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, the first step in knowing God is inviting Him into your heart. If you want a gift of the Spirit, you must ask for that gift. If you want Jesus to come into your life, you must invite Him. The scripture says, Jesus said this, He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone open, I'll come in and I'll be with them. God will never, never, never make you serve Him. He'll never make you live for Him. He'll never make you do that. It's a choice that each and every one of us have to make. So this morning, if you've never accepted Him as your Savior, maybe if you have and you just really haven't been living for Him, but this morning you understand that you need Him in your life and you need to make Him the Lord of your life. Simply by raising your hand, say, preacher, I need Jesus and I need to make Him the Lord of my life this morning. And I want Him to come into my heart and to come into my life. Slip your hand up high. Yep, back in the back. We got Bibles. We want to put in your hand. Leave your hands up till we get a Bible in it. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus in my heart. Anybody? Preacher, that's me. Thank you, Lord. The Bible said if we confess our sin, that He would be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, I don't know if you know it or not, but no decision really is a decision. We either accept Him by faith or by not doing anything, we reject Him. And it's a choice. It's just a choice. And I'm not trying to talk you into anything, but it really is the most important decision that you'll ever make in your life to allow Him to come into your heart, because that's what you're created for. Your eternity was born in your heart. God put that there. That's why everybody has a religion. But I'll say this, I'm going to go with the one who has power over death, the one who overcame death by rising from the grave. He has power over death. None of them other guys do that, but Jesus does. Anybody else? Raise your hand up high. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. Amen. If you raise your hand, would you mind looking up at me? If you raise your hand, would you mind coming up and let me pray with you back in the back? Yeah, come on down and let me pray with you. Come on, guys. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, if you raise your hands, come on down. Yeah, it's a good day. It's a good day. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. Come on up here, guys. Look at y'all. I'm so proud of you. Tell me your name again.
Austin.
Austin.
Riesland.
What is it?
Riesland.
It's good to meet you. Thank you for coming. Are y'all brothers and sisters?
Oh, I love that.
That's good. That's good. Here's what the Bible says. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God's raised him from the dead, that we'll be saved. And what I want to do, I want to help you pray. But you have to believe in your heart. I can't do that for you. You have to believe in your heart. Can y'all do that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's just pray. Y'all help us pray. Just say,
Dear Lord Jesus,
thank you for loving me.
Thank you for dying on the cross
for my sins. Lord, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I invite you into my heart. I invite you into my life. From this day forward, I give my life to you. Help me to read my Bible, to pray, show up for church, and get baptized. I love you, Jesus. Teach me to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, that's so cool. Now what that means is, that means that we talk about the Holy Spirit all morning, but the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. It's kind of hard to comprehend, but it's kind of like that bulldog in picture. You can't really see the Holy Spirit, but he's there. It's kind of like the wind. You don't see the wind.
Yeah, you feel it.
You feel it, yeah. And you see how powerful it can be, like with hurricanes and stuff. But with the Holy Spirit, you don't see him, but he's always there for you. It's so cool. So I just love you guys. And I'm proud for you. But always, always, always remember this day. How old are you?
10
years old.
11, about to be 12.
Going to be 12. Always look back at this time and remember when you made a decision to invite the Holy Spirit to come into your heart. And don't ever look back. And he'll help you. But you have to ask him. That's what God loves for you, to pray to him. And all prayer is just talking to God. So I just encourage y'all to do that, okay? Shake my hand. I love you. Give me a hug. Go visit these guys for a second. Thank you, buddy. I love you. Thank you. Stand with me, please. That's pretty cool, isn't it? If we're not careful, we can be influenced by the world we live in, and it can influence us away from the gifts of the Spirit that he's given us. Because too many times, the world lives in a practical world, but God lives in a supernatural world. And a lot of times it's hard for us to comprehend the miraculous power of God when we live in a world that is just natural. And so I want to ask this question to you. How many will say this morning, you'll say, Pastor, from this day forward, I declare that whatever the Holy Spirit has for me, I want it. And I'm not going to look back at any of the teaching that has drawn me away from the Holy Spirit and from the gifts of the Spirit, but I'm going to look forward, and I'm going to look forward to the power that God has for me. And to the best of my ability, I'm going to walk in the gift that God has provided for me. Raise your hand. Preacher, that's me. See, I kind of knew you'd do that anyway. I knew you'd raise your hand because that's why you come to church, right? So let's raise both hands and surrender to God, because I want to pray for you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just empower these people. Empower all of us pastors to equip these people for ministry, for serving, oh God. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, each one of us, to find that place where we can serve and to improve the way we serve, oh God, through the word and through the passion and through our love for other people. May we put our love into action through the power of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that you've promised us, oh God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. for being who you are to us and giving us the power. Thank you, Jesus, for sending the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for being so vital in our relationship with you. And we just thank you, Lord, that you are one. In Jesus' name, we love you, and we speak victory to this church. We speak victory, and Lord, we pray that we would be a godly influence in our neighborhood, in our community, and in the world that we live in. In Jesus' name, we pray. And all the church said,
yes.
Amen. We love y'all. God bless you.